You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you, as always, by listeners just like you. Thank you so much, Brett R., Major Death, Barbaric Yop, Boticus, Wicked Good, Aaron W., Mr. Jones, Trevor Y., Not Rob, Avantes, and Matt at Arms for making this show happen, along with the rest of the patrons. Go over to patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone to learn more. And by GameFlip Gigs. If you're looking to help other gamers with some skills and make a little extra cash on the side, GameFlip Gigs is a great place for you. Go to gameflip.com/gigs for more information. Hello and welcome to episode 148 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown. You know, I really wanted to kind of do the opening in a style that I've heard from my friend Not Rob over on Velen's Chosen. Hello and welcome to episode 148 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown. Did that work? I didn't feel like it was correct, even though I'm feeling sort of in a rush, to be quite honest with you. I can jump into this because it's just me today for this week. I had to take the guest that was on the schedule for this week and sort of flip-flop this week and next with him. So you can all be excited and anticipating a good member of the community that many of you might know from other guest appearances and whatnot. I know him from DreamHack, where we got to hang out, so it should be a lot of fun. He had the other DreamHack event that was in Atlanta this past week. So I've got some great stuff to talk about today. Obviously, new cards are coming, but today has sort of been a whirlwind. I am normally recording these episodes when I'm on my own over my lunch break, actually. And today has been just an insane day at work. I actually texted my wife. I said, I need to talk to my boss because I think I have too many things on my plate and it's actually like not going to be good for anyone for me to continue having all of this. And she said, wait a minute, on Friday, didn't you say everything was good with work? I said, yep, everything came up today. So it's kind of been, it's just been a crazy day mentally. And so thankfully I've been able to sort of get some notes together and some thoughts together in the margins. So got a great episode today. We're going to actually look back at the meta over the past 3 months, talk about some of the cards and the decks during the Boomsday Project, and just sort of reflect on kind of where the game is at and what that means that I'm hoping for, especially in this next set with Rosticon's Rumble. And my goodness, are we getting quite a bit of what I was hoping for. So I'm very excited about that. But I don't want to get too ahead of myself. First, I've got to talk about why I'm happy today. Well, one big reason is last night, my wife got to cross something off the bucket list for her. We went and saw Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I've seen them once before. It was a long, long time ago, like 10 plus years ago. But my wife had never seen them. And when we walked, if you're unfamiliar, Trans-Siberian Orchestra is that rock opera group that they've really become famous for their takes on Christmas songs, but they also do some takes on classical music by like Beethoven. And so a rock opera band is like, you know, your typical rock band with drums, guitars, bass, piano. But they've also got a lot of strings in there also to sort of give it more of the classical vibe to it. But they basically take these songs that you know and just make them into these epic rock ballads that are either really intense or really dramatic, you know. So if you've never seen them live, I have to highly recommend it. Their music is they're one of the few bands that really can appeal to a very wide variety of people. And so there's a really good chance that you'd like their music, and there's a really good chance you'd be wowed by their show. I mean, I'm talking platforms coming out of the sky, pyrotechnics. It's one of those things you just have to see to believe. So we walked out of the arena, and my wife said, I don't know what I was expecting, but it was not that. And my wife is actually a cellist. She played way back in college, and so she really appreciates, you know, orchestras and all that kind of stuff. And she knew that it was going to be more rock oriented, but I don't think she expected like the spectacle of a show that it really was. So we had a lot of fun being able to do that. And I mean, it's just a crazy show. Lights, smoke, there were dragons on the video screen. I was a bit confused by the dragons, I'll be honest with you, but you know, that's okay. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. The next reason why I'm incredibly happy, and I think I teased this out on last week's episode, it is official though. Saucy Mailman and myself are going to be hosting a pre-release event for Rastacon's Rumble here in Colorado Springs. So I am uber excited about this. I know we got our friend Rod from Tier 5 who's going to be helping out and there as well. And I was talking with my friends Bobby and Mel, who you might know from some of the Overwatch podcasts. They're gonna be able to make it too, I think. So we're going to have a pretty good showing of some just great people, I think. I'm a little biased, but these are some of my favorite people who are coming to this event. So that's going to be fun, and hopefully it'll be a great chance for just people in the Colorado Springs or Pueblo, Denver. If you're anywhere around there, love for you to come out. It's going to be Saturday, December 1st from 5 to 8 p.m. at a coffee shop in town that, no joke, is called Hearthstone Native. I am not going to ask him any copyright questions or anything like that, but I'm truly thankful that they were just so gracious and willing to host us for that. And Saucy's gotten to know the people over there and says that they're just fantastic. They've been great to us so far. So really looking forward to this. It's kind of in the middle of Colorado Springs, if you're familiar, north of downtown area, and not too far north. I kind of live on the far north end of town, but yeah, so if you're around, would love to see you there. We'll be able to open up our Rastacon's Rumble packs early and play some Tavern Brawls with the brand new cards, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, 5 to 8 p.m., December 1st, that's a Saturday, and I'll include links to the official Fireside Gathering event and the Facebook event in the show notes. So be sure to check that out. If you're anywhere in the area, please come hang out with us. It's going to be a really fun time. I'm super excited to kind of get my innkeeper feet wet, as it were. And then, of course, I'm happy because new cards. There are so many new cards. We just had Regis Kilbin and Peter Whalen kick off the reveal season. And my goodness, they unveiled some very spicy cards, if I do say so. So I'm just super excited. There's a lot of cards, or there's a few cards, I guess, that have come out since then. I actually kind of want to just like refresh my Twitter thing to see if I even, I just saw a very interesting combo. I'm gonna have to tell you guys about it in a sec. But there's just gonna be so many new cards coming out over the next week and a half, I think, that we have until all of them are revealed. You're gonna see several a day. In fact, I think I looked at the schedule for Tuesday, November 20th, as this episode is dropping. And it looked like there were somewhere in the neighborhood of like 10 cards that are gonna drop that day. So yeah, really a lot to be excited about right there, and just some really cool mechanics. I don't want to talk about them because we've got a lot coming up that we will talk about them in depth, several hours worth with Wicked Good. If you're unfamiliar with how we do it here on the Happy Hearthstone, we wait until all cards have been revealed, and then Wicked Good and I dig in our heels and talk through in 3-hour chunks every single one of the cards. And we will need another 3-hour chunk, I believe, for the priest cards. And that's only the few that we've seen so far. So going to be a really fun time. And you can be looking forward to that in a couple weeks, I think. It'll probably be the episode after next week's. Is that right? Yeah. That we should be dropping the first half of them. So really excited about that, and I will leave all of that, except for our card of the week at the end of the episode, of course. So in the news, I do want to move your attention to recognize that there is a card, an official reveal stream calendar. So Hearthstone's done this for several expansions now, where they give different members of the community cards to reveal, typically Twitch streamers or YouTube content creators. And so they have a list of all of those with a little preview of the artwork. And so you can go and look through those and sort of decide which ones you're really excited about. I definitely see some Loas here. There's the shark. And I think this is probably the frog. It looks like a wooden sculpture of a frog, though, so it could just be a shaman card. There's definitely some champions here. I see the rogue champion on November 25th. And... Oh, that looks like, is that the mage one? Yeah, it's kind of it's kind of tough to translate the the visual into the audio, but there's some really fun stuff here. Definitely worth your and actually this is pretty big. This is definitely Zul'jin here. So on November 26th, that would be next Monday at 11 p.m. Pacific time. Gosh, that's midnight for me. That's super late. But Zul'jin might be worth waiting up for. So that new hero card for Hunter should be a lot of fun. I'm excited to see that. So. Little cat, kitty cat here. You just need to see these for yourself. And, of course, lots of Murlocs. So go check them out. I'll put the link in the show notes. And then Regis Kilbin, Peter Whalen, like I said, kicked things off. I had a little bit of technical difficulties to start it off with, but at least they got those resolved and were able to show us all of the cards. It was interesting. This was they've done this before where a duo, like someone on their team and somebody who's in the content creation space, go and talk through the cards. This is the first time, though, it seemed like Peter Whalen was in the driver's seat. Typically, the guest is sort of the driver, and it seemed like Peter was the driver on this one. So I'm sure that was intentional. Regis Kilbin is great. I love the guy. He's a lot of fun to watch on Twitch and just super, super jovial about the game, I would say. So really enjoyed watching that and looking forward to more stuff from them. So good stuff. Let's take a sponsor break. We're actually going to talk about a brand new sponsor to the show this week, and that's GameFlip Gigs. So GameFlip Gigs is a great new hub for gamers to offer their services to each other. And I love the way this is organized because they allow for some new niches to really be offered that you can't find anywhere else out there. So wanted to tell you guys about this, sort of a brief overview of what it is. So they've organized the services that gamers can offer to one another in four different pockets. So there are coaches, which coaches offer their expertise and teaching skills to help others improve in general ways or in very specific ways, like building decks in Hearthstones, or in Hearthstone, maybe how to queue in Heroes of the Storm. And one of the best parts is that you can set up shop for any game that you like here. It doesn't have to be just the titles that they deem worthy enough. The second pool is for creators. So if you're a graphic designer, video editor, maybe even a pen and paper artist, you can list gigs you're willing to take to help people out. So stuff like Twitch banners, video intros, the sky's the limit, really anything that you like creating. Twitch emotes. And there are also carriers, that's a third pool, who carriers are there to help buff out your team and provide value for you in-game. So if you're stretched for a good support on your Overwatch team or Heroes of the Storm, you can go and find a carrier to join in and help out your team rather than just hoping that you kind of find the right person in random matchmaking. And then the final group is entertainers. So if you're up for joining a stream, providing colorful commentary, or anything else that's going to connect with people, there's a good chance you can make a great entertainer's offering here too. So no matter where you find your place as a coach, creator, carrier, or entertainer, there's a place on GameFlip Gigs to help others make some extra cash in the meantime. So if you're looking to use your gamer expertise to help other people out and make that side income, I can't recommend GameFlip Gigs enough. I actually just signed up to join them, so I'm kind of going to be looking through, but I think I'm going to be offering some coaching services on there, which I'm really excited to do. Definitely go check it out. GameFlip.com/gigs is the website you want to go to. You can sign up to be a seller. They're actually in their beta phase right now. And if you sign up during their beta phase, you can qualify for up to $1,000 as a bonus for joining them. So definitely don't want to wait on that. Go do it now. GameFlip.com/gigs. Sign up, become a seller today. And be sure you tell them when you sign up that you found it from a podcast too, because, you know, you did. So thanks so much to GameFlip Gigs for sponsoring this episode of the Happy Hearthstone. Let's go ahead and talk about our main topic today. I wanted to talk about the past 3 months that we've had in the Boomsday meta. I don't think it'll surprise many of you to hear me say that we've been a bit underwhelmed overall as far as the impact of the cards of the Boomsday Project really seeping in to the meta. And that really comes from a deeper thing, which the team behind Hearthstone hasn't come straight out and said it, but they certainly haven't denied it at any point. And I think it's just pretty obvious what they're up to. Boomsday Project and before that The Witchwood have both not really made a mega impact on the meta. Last year, Journey to Un'Goro, Knights of the Frozen Throne, and Kobolds and Catacombs, each set has seen some extremely powerful cards that have been around for a long time, have dug their teeth into where they're at, and are not going anywhere until they are forced out by rotation in April. And I think it's rather interesting to look at some of the cards that are seeing the most play. If you've never checked this out, if you go over to hsreplay.net and scroll to the very bottom of the main page, you can actually see a rolling list of the most played cards in Hearthstone based off of the data that they gather in Standard, Wild, and Arena over the past 15 minutes, I believe it is. And it's interesting to just go on there and kind of see how many cards which cards are being played the most, how much they're being played, and just sort of seeing cards rise and fall on the fly like that. I kind of stuck my nose in there for a little long and decided to really hone in on what are the most popular cards right now over, you know, the 5 or so minutes that I spent watching. And it was clear that the top 4 cards in Standard were the top 4 cards in Standard. And none of these will probably surprise you. Do you want to guess what they are real quick? I'll give you a second. Think about it. Which cards, out of all of the cards in play right now, are most played? You got them? I'm going to give you 6, actually, because there were 2 that kind of tied for 5th. They were just kind of bouncing back and forth. So at the top, definitely Serenite Chain Gang, number 1. Firefly, Stonehill Defender, Fungalmancer, and then switching back and forth with Prince Keliseth and Kobold Librarian. So none of these should surprise you, right? Serenite Chain Gang was Knights of the Frozen Throne. We saw Firefly, Stonehill, and I think it's just those 2 in Journey to Un'Goro. Fungalmancer and Keliseth were... Oh, no. I think Keliseth was Knights of the Frozen Throne also. Fungalmancer was definitely Kobolds and Catacombs. And Kobold Librarian was Knights of the Frozen Throne, too. So, yeah. None of those cards are from Witchwood. None of those cards are from Boomsday Project. And to be fair, Giggling Inventor was probably at the top of this list. Maybe not at the tippy top. Probably at the tippy top, just because of so many decks that card was in. So that shook things up too much, I think we can all agree. And it's been interesting to see how really nothing else has kind of buffed in there to change things. And the reason why these are at the top is because they're used in so many different decks. I mean, Serenite Chain Gang, I'm pretty sure when we reviewed, I hope we gave this thing a 5. I'll have to go look back and see what we did give it. But if you buff it up, it's obviously like really, really good. But just on its own, it's perfectly fine. You think about the Feral Spirits, 3 mana, and it overloads you for 2 mana. It's 5 that you're paying over the course of 2 turns for the same amount of bodies. And Serenite Chain Gang, you know, you have to pay 4, so it's a little more upfront, but you don't have to deal with the overload on the other side. And obviously, it's a key stakeholder in how Shudderwalk Shaman works right now, but it's also just a good card to slot into anything that has the potential to buff. So especially in Zoo, you'll see it because you've got the 1 mana card that buffs... I can see it in my head right now. You've got that as a chance to sort of buff it up. You've got Keliseth as a chance to buff it up, obviously. And there's just a lot of... There's even more upside in that case. But you'll see Serenite sometimes in just control decks that want something in the middle of the game to sort of slow things down in the way that Giggling Inventor was doing that. Firefly is interesting to see here. You know, he really finds his home right now in Odd Paladin. I can't actually think of many other decks where Firefly is something that you always see. But any Odd Rogue, I think you can find it in as well. Pretty much any aggressive deck, you just got that extra token. And I remember this card being like, who would really play this card? And yet it's become one of the most defining cards, really, of the past year. Stonehill Defender, so much value. so many things you can get, and you're able to slow down your really aggressive opponents. So whether you are an aggressive deck or a control deck, Stonehill Defender really fills that void. Again, very similar to Giggly Inventor, where it's just used in everything. Now, Fungomancer, Prince Keliseth, and Cobalt Librarian, these are obviously zoo cards. Fungomancer is seen in Odd Paladin as well. So Fungomancer is really in just about any deck that has a lot of heavy board presence. Being able to buff up those tokens is huge. So other than Giggling Inventor, we haven't seen cards like this that are used in everything. You know, I think about some of the other popular cards from Witchwood or from Boomsday Project, and like really most, if not all of them, are used in one single deck. Even more of them aren't being used at all, and that's because of the kind of change in philosophy that I mentioned earlier. I think that I've said it before on the show, but I really want to drive a stake in the ground with you as a listener. If you are feeling a sense of settledness when it comes to the game, if you've been a little bit frustrated, maybe that the cards of Boomsday Project or of Witchwood didn't make as much of an impact as you wished that they would have, wait. Hold on, because redemption is coming. At some point, at any point, if the Hearthstone developers wanted to make a shift in their philosophy for how to design cards and sets for where the power level should be, then there has to be a time, unless they change the formatting of what rotates and what doesn't, that we're stuck sort of in limbo like we are right now. And here's the exciting thing. When Journey, Knights, and Kobolds rotate out in April of Standard, rotate out, is that right? I remember somebody calling me once on how to word it. Oh yeah, it's saying rotate into Wild that's incorrect. So when they rotate out of Standard or they rotate exclusively into Wild, that those are both. I guess out of Standard really is the best way to put it. When they do that in April, it's going to be really good and healthy for the game, because we're only going to have the pools from Witchwood, Boomsday, and the upcoming Rosticons Rumble set that are at a different power level. And so the cards that come from the upcoming sets will have more of a chance to play, to see play, than these cards have had when they're in the same pool as much more powerful sets. So I do hope that when we see that rotation in April, that we see more Witchwood cards, that we see more Boomsday Project cards, because I would hate if those expansions just sort of get lost in the muffle. But I guess there is a chance, because we have no clue what's coming. I think that the team five is probably seeing things like we don't. Well, they definitely are seeing things like we don't, and anticipating sort of what could happen as a result of different pools of cards. And I can't imagine that they're not looking at April with a lot of anticipation as well, because we're just going to see a lot of different things all of a sudden come out of nowhere. And I think it's just going to be really exciting. We will miss these cards from Journey to Un'Goro. Yes, even the quests, even the hero cards from Knights of the Frozen Throne. We will miss them at some point, but I think that they've been around for long enough and have just dominated their field so heavily that it's going to feel good to sort of have the oppression lifted a bit. So I am personally still really, really excited about this game in April, because I think that, well, it's been truth that every time we've had a rotation set for the Standard gameplay, that it's caused things to change very drastically. And I see this upcoming April as being an even more intense version of that. So be anticipating a lot. I think I've also said that I'm anticipating more big announcements for things that we've kind of been waiting for a while, like new gameplay modes, maybe a new rotation philosophy or new expansion release philosophy. So I don't want to put all my hopes in that basket, but I feel like at this point that we're all really hoping for that. So what's really been encouraging to me, though, is looking at what's been revealed for Rosticon's Rumble so far. These cards, I will say, on the other hand, seem very, very powerful. And I don't know if that's sort of the, I don't know what to call it, the the card reveal inebriation, I guess, because I know that I do. The fun police have to be called on me on Twitter. If they haven't been already, they will be soon, because I see these cards and I just get starry-eyed and think about the crazy stuff that can happen. And when it comes to actually laddering up and playing effective decks, that isn't necessarily going to work all the time. But I still think that we're seeing far more powerful effects, cards, sets, out of the cards that we've seen in the very short reveal season of Rossicon's Rumble. Certainly not all of them have been crazy powerful, and they shouldn't be. But I feel like already we've seen some legendaries, some spirits, some individual minions and spells that really could shake things up quite a bit. So I'm very excited for what's to come with Rossicon's Rumble. And I have more hope now than I did even a couple weeks ago that things are going to shift potentially in a big way when Rossicon's Rumble is released. So we'll see what happens. I don't know, that all that hero power stuff for Mage, is it going to be able to thwart Odd Paladin? Mabes? We'll have to wait and see. And I did want to encourage you too. It's actually interesting that in those top 10 cards that were played, on HS Replay, Ziliax is actually on the top 10. And that's a really key card. I'm sure some of you actually were thinking that while I was talking about cards that are good in pretty much every deck. Ziliax has sort of been that. It's maybe not great in the hyper-aggressive decks, but in pretty much anything that's mid-game control, even combo decks, having Ziliax as a 2-for-1 and being able to heal for a little bit, hopefully trading into something that's actually valuable for you, it's become a pretty good card on its own. And I think with Magnetic, it really becomes very good in those few mech decks. But just on its own, it's been a perfectly fine card that's able to see just enough value to see play. So I encourage that we even see just a few sparkles, as it were, rather than just being completely overrun by sets of the past. And something that I wanted you all to speak into was about the decks of Boomsday. Because, I actually originally was going to ask the community the question, which card do you think has shaped the Boomsday meta the most? And I realized, well, Giggling Inventor. Duh. So I shifted that question and started thinking about which decks have become the most defining. Because during a time where a lot of people have sort of become a little bit more unenamored with the game, with competitive play and stuff like that, there has been a very high uptick on people who are engaged with, I should have said casual competitive, because people have been engaging more with the competitive side of Hearthstone in a pretty big way, with tournaments, with what many people have said is one of the healthiest tournament scenes that we've seen in a very long time. And that's led to some really interesting games, interesting views. So I wanted to see what you all thought, and so I picked out a few responses. I wish I could read everyone, but there were a lot of responses on Twitter and also in our Discord. So be sure, again, if you're not in our Discord yet, thehappyhearthstone.com/Discord. You can join our community. It's D-I-S-C-O-R-D if you haven't joined Discord before. And just see what people are thinking about new cards. If you're trying to find somebody to play a friendly challenge with, you can do that there. Lots of good stuff. The first person actually to respond was Leodaric, who said, Cube Hunter, you are either playing a deck that beats it regularly, playing it, or hoping to dodge it. And I think you're absolutely right, Leodaric. Cube Hunter has really been defining, and I've brought it up so often during the meta breakdowns that I've talked about on this show, because it's a deck that pretty much can beat most everything that you're seeing out there. It has a very high win rate against stuff like pretty much anything Druid, Mage, or Warlock. It can cut through Warrior also. So Cube Hunter really has been really the only way to consistently come up against it is hyper, hyper aggro. So Odd Paladin, Odd Rogue. But even then, sometimes if they can get Deathstalker Rexxar out on 6 or 5 with the coin, and be able to get some lifesteal minions really quickly, they can just snowball to a point where those decks just can't keep up with the infinite value that it poses. So I think you're right, and a ton of people actually said that also. SC2, Beef Squatch, and Ridiculous Hat were some of the few who said that as well. So lots of Lots of responses in that light. I also like what Steve Lamson said, Kremlin Cardinal on Twitter. He said, blank Druid. But seriously, Druid has seemed to be the favorite child of HS, with Malagos Druid getting a lot of help and Token Druid sticking around the upper levels. And then he goes on to say that because he's just an extremely casual player, he doesn't have a good point of view. And that's absolutely not true, man. And this show, especially, is one where everyone has a seat at the table. And you're right. I think everyone would agree. Druid has seen a lot of very effective strategies. And especially, well, so Malagos and Togwaggle Druid have sort of become the combo daddies, I guess, of Druid. But Token Druid, especially pre the Giggling Inventor nerf, was one of the strongest decks in the game. I think, did I get to Legend, or I just got really high in the 5-1 grind? I think I got up to rank 1 with Token Druid back then. So those decks have really solidified their place. I mean, Druid has been a meme since Knights of the Frozen Throne, with just how powerful it's been. And I think it's obviously the huge reason, or the fact that we've seen so many strong archetypes, deck types, and everything from this one class, is why so many people are just begging that Wild Growth or Nourish or both would be altered, or maybe just retired to the Hall of Fame for a little bit or something. Because those decks are just doing really well. Token Druid is the one that doesn't necessarily use the ramp mechanics. But I think we're also all looking forward to when Ultimate Infestation is going to take a rest, an infinite rest for Standard in this next rotation, because that's obviously a very big culprit for that as well. Rebobson, what's up, man? Around the Hearth, good dude. He mentions, do you mean meta-defining over the period of the Boomsday meta, or the deck that's defined the expansion the most? He said probably Malagos Druid if it's the period of the Boomsday meta, and then Odd Warrior for the deck that defined the expansion the most. And I think he's right about Odd Warrior especially. Odd Warrior didn't really see any play until Boomsday came around. And then all of a sudden, some cards like Omega Assembly, Dr. Boom Mad Genius, obviously, Ziliax, and Dynomatic was really a sleeper card. I remember us talking about how good it was on the review episodes, but I don't think we even saw Odd Warrior being as hugely successful as an archetype as it really has been. I mean, many people are taking it to Legend. I know there's a lot of resident sleepers on the tournament scene when we've got the inevitable mirror match, unfortunately. But Odd Warrior has been so well poised against stuff like Odd Paladin and Odd Rogue, just being able to make sure that there's something to answer the Zoo Warlocks or the Even Shamans that just flood the board indefinitely. So I think that Odd Warrior, I would agree with you, Rebobson, really has been the most markedly influenced deck by the Boomsday Project cards. So I think that's a really good note and something for us to be thankful for. You know, I think it's really easy to kind of say, oh, all these decks are the same, because for the most part, many of them have not changed that much. You know, we added Forbidden Floop to Malagos Druid. Odd Paladin saw some play with Glowatron, or surely there's one other card in Odd Paladin. Actually, I've seen Shrink Ray in some lists now, which I think is really, really smart. But Odd Warrior by far was the deck that really wasn't on the scene before Boomsday Project hit, but is now in crazy amounts. So Volkai also gave some wild love by saying that that Starliner Druid really was the most notable addition with Boomsday Project, and that's a really good point too. Starliner was brought to us in the Boomsday Project, the reason why Aviana needed to see a nerf. Although Juicy Psych Melon was, of course, a big culprit in this expansion, too. So I think that, yeah, especially in the wild, but it could be argued that across the scene, Starliner Druid really was the deck of the Boomsday Project. So thanks for loving on our wild brethren, Volkai. I think it's just a really good point with how prevalent that had been. And then, of course, Wicked Good trolling me, saying that Janky Mage was the definitive deck. And I'll make sure that he pays when we do our review episodes. So that's sort of my look back at the Boomsday Project, the cards, the decks, all of the fun that we've had. I think that we would all say that it was a bit of an underwhelming release overall, which is a bummer because it was such a great set flavor wise. But just didn't shake up the ladder as much as many of us were hoping for. And then all of the oddness around, saying that there weren't going to be cards nerfed, and then the few cards that were nerfed, and There was just a lot of weird stuff there, but it's okay. The truth is that it has changed things a little bit, if not refined things quite a bit for tournament play especially. And there is a lot coming with Rostikon's Rumble to be excited about. And I will get into that in just a moment. But before then, I want to talk about our awesome community. I actually had a question sent in from Jeff MC. You might know him as Mouse Divided on Twitter. And he had a question. Are you hoping, like myself, that the Rumble set will include neutral and hunter class beasts that are just garbage in order to nerf Deathstalker Rexxar's hero power? Thanks for the great show. Thanks for writing in, Jeff. And yes, is the very short answer for that. Deathstalker Rexxar, and I know Wicked Good would get into even more heated debate on this, but I'll leave it at this. The Deathstalker Rexxar's hero power really gives you very little downside, right? It gives you infinite value for the rest of the game, potentially even more powerful than Jaina's, depending on the deck that you've built, because you're able to get three different cards and discover, choose really the minion that you need at that time, whether that's something that has taunt, maybe you need to get Ironbeak Owl's silence effect. You need the lifesteal and rush. I mean, it's really the lifesteal and rush mechanics that have shaken things up in, some might argue, a poor way for Deathstalker Rexxar's hero power in building a beast. And I don't think it would be right for them to just remove Vicious Scalehide from that pool or Bloodworm or something like that. That's an option, I suppose. I do like what you're proposing here, that could we see some neutral or some hunter class beasts that don't necessarily do great things? And unfortunately, with like Springpaw being the main one that we've seen, I don't know that that's the case, unfortunately. Even just one more rush card is just a little bit of ooh. But anything will dilute the pool and will probably be good for Rexxar to just take a chill pill. I'm not saying he shouldn't be powerful, but man, he's just very, very tough to beat out once he gets that hero power going. So thanks for that. Thanks for that question, Mouse. I agree with you. And actually, he sent in his email along with my buddy James because of what I mentioned last week. I'm going to be doing a raffle for anyone who's left a review on iTunes ever for the Happy Hearthstone. So if you have left a review, you need to let me know that you did and that you'd like to be entered in the drawing. And if you haven't, go ahead and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on iTunes. It takes a few minutes. And I've learned, because I did have a listener reach out and say that they left one, it just hasn't populated yet. So be sure to go and do it as soon as possible. Maybe you got some downtime as you're chowing down on a good turkey dinner if you're here in the U.S. or whatever else you might be eating this week. Maybe you're on your lunch break and you can just scroll over real fast and leave a review. It takes just a couple minutes. It helps out the show tremendously. And I'll be raffling off an hour of coaching for Hearthstone to one lucky winner. So go do that. Be sure to email me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com to let me know that you completed it. And really looking forward to this. I love being able to do those coaching sessions and looking forward to it. Okay, I've got a card of the week. It's one of the new cards. And I got to say, I've been feeling on my A game with these card of the weeks. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but I don't know. There's just been some good juices flowing. So let me know what you think about this one. Hero power, baby. Hero power, baby. Hero power, baby. And all the mages say I'm burning bright for a fire guy. Uno, dos, tres, but really, ocho is the place. Your fighting's pretty strong here in arenas today. Your axe seems rather sharp, but your spells are just okay. You know what really help you? A little flame ablaze. Or if you really burn them, they're gonna be amazed. So shoot them down, hero power now. You got a lot of new tools that'll make opponents frown. Clear their board real quick. Now that was slick. Now we've got a way to make them rage. So ride the sky with Jaina Lai. Dragonhawks seem to always come up with some fire. The world is gonna burn. So summon Rag the Fire Lord. Yeah? I was proud of that one. That was good stuff. Maybe I got to write that one out all the way too. But so excited about this new card, Janalai the Dragonhawk. This is the Loa for the mages. 7 mana, 4/4, legendary beast mage minion. And it reads, Battle Cry, if your hero power dealt 8 damage this game, summon Ragnaros the Fire Lord. That's right. You heard me right. If your hero power has dealt 8 damage over the course of the game, you will summon one Ragnaros the Fire Lord. So some minor things that are actually very important. The way that this works is similar to Thing from Below, where it tracks how much damage your hero power has dealt, regardless of whether Janalai is in your hand or in your deck. So that's really nice and makes it a lot more possible that you can fire this away. And what we saw in the reveal stream with Regis Kilbin and Peter Whalen were many cards that take advantage of some hero power effects with Mage. The Spirit for Mage makes it so that when you target an enemy with your hero power, it'll also affect the adjacent minions to it. So you sort of have a shooting star effect, essentially, with your hero power. We saw a minion that makes your next hero power a damage +2. So if you combo both of those for 2 damage, you can deal 3, or for 2 mana, you can deal 3 damage to 3 minions on your opponent's side of the board. Pretty powerful. And I mean, with just that, you would unlock being able to get Ragnaros off of Janalai. So that's pretty crazy. You do have to ask yourself, 7 mana for a 4/4 with an 8/8. Obviously, Rag is super, super powerful. And we actually saw it in that reveal stream, too. One of the big reasons I think he was rotated into the Hall of Fame was looking ahead with Frostlich Jaina. The damage that Ragnaros does, if you've played Frostlich Jaina, also heals you for 8. So even if it hits something that you didn't really want it to, you heal all that damage all of a sudden. So it's pretty good. Now, the 7 mana for a conditional 4, because like on its own, 7 mana 4/4 is not good, right? So the question is, like, is it really worth it to get Ragnaros online for you? I'm not sure that this is as crazy as it seems. I went freaking PogChamp all over the place once I saw this on the stream. But the more I think about it, the more I'm thinking this is a conditional way to summon Ragnaros. And if your opponent has a way to deal with Ragnaros, they will. And if they can tell that you're doing the hero power shenanigans, they're probably going to save one of their removal things for Ragnaros. And I don't know that there are any other like big buffed minions that you would play in that deck anyway. So I don't know that this is really going to see play. Interesting that because it's 7 mana, it can see play in Odd Mage, which will deal 2 damage every turn. So it's even more likely to trigger with that. And because it's 7 mana in Wild, you could play this with Brand Bronzebeard and get 2 Ragnarai for the price of 1. So shenanigans aplenty. I'll wait to hold off my actual thoughts for the review episode. But those are kind of some of my just gut level things right there. Certainly a very fun card. And now we've seen the Champion, the Loa, and the Spirit. So I think it's clear here, and some people helped me in the Discord with this, that it looks like the Loa and the Spirit for each class will have some synergies, but the Champion kind of stands alone as whatever they, you know, kind of add to the deck. So pretty cool there. I'm excited for Janalai. All right, as I close up the show today, this is a bit of a lesser, faster episode. Not really. That's the way it always goes. At least I didn't say that at the very top of the show. I was thinking it, but I didn't say it until now. I just want to remind you, as always, you are the happy Hearthstone. This podcast exists for you. It's sustained by you. I can't thank enough those of you who are supporting the show over at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Truly the best way to make sure that this episode continues. I mean, I think about it very often. The reason why I'm able to do weekly episodes is because of the support you all have shown over there. And if you haven't yet and you enjoy this show, please go consider it. patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. Starting at just $1 a month, you can get some great perks for yourself and help make this show happen all the time. And I have to send a huge thank you out to Red Knight and Risen for being the official producers of the Happy Hearthstone. And Risen, great job at DreamHack Atlanta, man. I'm sure you were hoping for some better results, but I know from my play and from Red Knight's play at HTT Oakland, I think that's what he was at, that you there's just something very intangible to how much being at one of those events and competing really helps your play. So take it from these two guys and from me. That's definitely something that you should consider doing if you really want to up your game for the future. But thank you two so much for supporting the show at the level that you do. If you haven't noticed, there actually is a spot open for a third producer. If you would like to get some coaching from me and support the show and get those thanks, you can join these two awesome guys and be a part of the family in that way. And as I mentioned before, looking for those reviews on iTunes to help support the show as well. It's a great free way to support the show, and really excited to get out a raffle for that. I've actually got something much bigger in the raffle department under lock. And here's what I want to tell you, because I can't understate. This is actually, I think this is the, yeah, this is the biggest giveaway I've done on the show that I've been working on kind of behind the scenes, and I'm almost ready to launch this puppy. And I'm going to send out details about it first to people who are on the Happy Hearthstones newsletter. And so if you haven't joined that yet, I can't tell you enough how important it is that you go over to the happyhearthstone.com/newsletter to sign up. It's absolutely free. I'll give you a free download, actually, of my guide to Twitch streamers that are going to help you get better at Hearthstone. It's just a free gift for signing up. You'll get updates about the show whenever I come out with new content, which usually, if you're listening to this every week, is kind of what you want anyway. But I give you some insider peeks on there. And so this giveaway that I've got coming up is going to go out to those people first. So do it right now, thehappyhearthstone.com/newsletter, and sign up. And you can find links to everything else, me or the show, over at thehappyhearthstone.com. So thank you all so much for listening. I am, I'm just reeling in all these new cards. There's a lot to be excited about right now. Just insanity for every single class. I would say that, yeah, I'm super hyped about playing Mage, and that's because we've seen a lot of those cards already. But actually, there were a ton of cards that were sort of leaked for Warlock. And I don't know if Quest Warlock is going to be a thing, but I'm going to say it has got more of a chance than it ever has with this next set. I guess that's true every set, but like severely, I'm actually thinking about it this time. So really excited. I hope that you are too. And thank you so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I'll see you next time. Thank you again to GameFlip Gigs for sponsoring this episode of the Happy Hearthstone. I love the tagline on their site that says, "You got the skills, now earn the cash." As a gamer, you have ways to help other people, and whether that's as a coach, a creator, a carrier, or an entertainer, you definitely want to go and check out what they've got to offer and apply to become a seller during their beta. As I mentioned before, you can earn up to $1,000 by helping other people and becoming a seller over there. So go check it out, gameflip.com/gigs. And thank you again, GameFlip Gigs, for sponsoring the Happy Hearthstone.